praise you, Lord. Right now, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. This is your time, Lord. We invite you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come in. Have your way and your will. Take control of this time. Accomplish what you want to accomplish, Lord. In Jesus' name, we surrender to you. We yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was looking for a scripture just as we were singing that, but this is good stuff. Psalm 63 basically is what that song was about. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. My right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory by the mouth of those who speak lie. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I felt impressed because it just rose up in me to ask a couple of questions tonight. And I don't want you to answer quickly. I want you to give thought to what you about this. And I don't know that you necessarily need to tell anybody unless you want to prophesy and make a declaration about this. My first thought is there anybody excited tonight besides me? Okay? I have to tell you, there is something in me that is so excited. I mean, inside of me, well, me, I'm just excited. I'm telling you, I have never, I don't remember being this way for a long time or maybe ever. But I'm excited. I'm excited about God. I'm excited about the things of God. That fire is starting to come back in a way that, I got to tell you, I've longed for. And I'm excited. But more than that, how many here, now I want you to think about this, can cite something going on in your life right now? I mean right now, in the now. I'm not talking about yesterday, I'm talking about right now and going into tomorrow, where you are trusting God, and I mean there's trust in you. You know that you know that you know He's in control. He's doing everything He says He will do in the Bible, because you're doing... You know, you're trying. I'm not saying you hit everything you're supposed to hit, but you're trying. You're looking to Him. And I got to tell you something. There's so much trust in me, and for probably the first time in all honesty in my life, I'm at a place where I know that I know that I know that He's working in my life, in my behalf. You know, it's not that I haven't known before, but I mean, I can't explain this to you. I just know something's going on inside of me. And I trust Him. I know that He is in control. This, in spite of everything that we see around us, in spite of everything that's going on, and even though every arrow in this world points to the fact that everything is going to hell in a handbasket, which we know that's the truth anyway, He's in control. There is no fear. There is no dread. I'm telling you, this has taken me a long time to come to this place where I totally understand and realize that what the Word says is true. And He's interested in every aspect of my life and your life. We talk about this. We go through the rhetoric. But honestly, if you look into your life like I have and like I do constantly, does the evidence that you exude really show? Are you happy with the evidence that you exude about the fact that you trust Him, that you know that He's in control, and you know that He's working good things in your behalf for you, for the kingdom's sake?
Well, we have a testimony that something that God spoke to us, a word spoke to us, probably just a couple hours ago.
Praise the Lord.
And go ahead and share it. I mean, use the microphone.
I've been reading this book. You're probably all going to laugh at me when I tell you the title of this book. It's called My Beloved. It's the story of a Carmelite nun. She wrote it back like in 1955. It's a cool book. This woman obviously loves Jesus with all of her heart. But at the beginning of each chapter, she gives a scripture reference for the chapter. And so I had not had a great morning, and I just felt, I need to just get in God's presence. And so I went in and I picked up the book. I said, I'm going to get into this because it's really... It's very peaceful when you read about her life in the cloistered nuns. They go in the convent and then they don't come out ever. Well, with some exceptions, but anyway. So I thought, I need a little bit of peace in my day. So I opened it up and I went to the next chapter to look up the verse. And it was Leviticus 25, verse 27. And I thought, what a funny chapter. I mean, funny verse. I mean, Leviticus is all law. It's instruction, you know. Anyway, I thought, well, I'll look it up. So I looked it up. And it's actually talking about the year of Jubilee and about giving back the land in the year of Jubilee, which is what they're supposed to do every 50th year. And so in reading that verse, I thought, well, I want to see what came before that. So I started to read from the beginning of Leviticus 25. And he talks about the Sabbath year. And what he says is that for 6 years, sow your fields. And for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself and everybody in your household. Whatever the land produces may be eaten. Okay? And then, so then it goes on and talks about the year of Jubilee, about how you count off seven of these Sabbath years, which would be seven times seven is 49 years, and how in the 50th year, then you're supposed to do certain things, which is you free all your slaves, you return anything that you bought from somebody else, you return any land, or there's certain restrictions on houses and stuff, but... And God even gives instructions about it. If you buy something in the 47th year, you pay less for it than if you bought it in the third year, because you're not going to have as much use of it, because you're just going to give it back in 3 years' time. So you're going to pay a lower price for it. God even arranges all that. He talks about it. You know, if you buy it in the earlier year, you pay a higher price than if you buy it in the later year, and then you don't. But anyway, and then this other verse that was here, and it says... follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? And God says, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years, not just for the sixth year and the seventh, but to carry you through in the eighth when you start your harvesting, you start your sowing again. Because some crops you don't get them the year you plant them. You have to wait an extra year, and so he says. So you start work again in the eighth year. You plant during the eighth year, but you're going to continue to eat from the sixth year crop, and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. I read this. Patrick and I are getting ready to enter our seventh year of marriage,
and we're going to watch God do this in our lives, and and according to what Stan has been preaching about, you know, why do we have a Sabbath day? You know, a Sabbath day is not just exactly for rest; it's a holy day, so it's a day unto the Lord. To me, it's a picture of where we go to receive from God, that presence of God, where we go to receive from Him. So it's not just about us; it's about I don't have anything to give unless I get it from God. Okay? So we're talking about applying this to our lives, trying to get And we haven't got it all worked out yet, you know, but we believe that God's going to work this out in our lives, because it's kind of like what we've been doing for the last 6 years is sowing seed. And yet, what do we have to give? Well, I think God wants to give a new thing, and the only way you give a new thing is to get it from God. That's from His presence. That's the Sabbath. That's where you get the new stuff from God, in the presence of God, or a picture of the Sabbath rest. I'm not trying to get things for myself. I'm going to God to get the new thing to give out. Okay, so it's not just about us. You know, that's our goal, to have something to give to the people who come here or wherever God takes us. Okay, and so we're looking forward to what God has planned. So we're kind of trying to prepare for getting wrapped up what we're supposed to get wrapped up by July. Okay, so that's our just a, yeah.
If you got to give back what you
bought, or yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I can give Marie back.
I guess you can.
Well, you have to give her back, right?
So you can't take it up again, though.
Yeah, but then she can choose, right, to stay with you.
Work this out. Yeah. We don't have any idea.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how that's going to work, but we're believing for exactly fulfillment of that scripture, and we're going to give a manifestation of how God works that out. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know in the Word that it says, it talks about the year of Jubilee. Amen?
What year is that the Jews have got now, right now, in Israel? I think it's I know that they go through 50 years. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I don't know where they are in the Jubilee year thing.
57, 52, they're at 58 years.
They're 50.
58.
So 8 years, because they've already had a Jubilee 50 years, 8 years ago, you mean?
Yeah.
So they're in 8 years now.
Because they became a country in 1948.
47 or 48?
48. I'm going with the...
Or are you going with the old calendar?
Yeah, it might be a little bit difficult to know exactly the 50 years. Yeah, but one thing that we did notice in the Old Testament is that you had to free a slave every 7 years. So that wasn't dependent on when the Jubilee was, except for the fact that if you got a slave 2 years before the year of Jubilee, then you also had to release it in the year of Jubilee also. So the 7 year didn't line up with the 50 years. So it's more of a personal thing on the 7 year deal.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's so easy because we hear it, we're bombarded with it. All this rhetoric and stuff. This Yahoo that's in Iran right now and stuff like that. I mean, that it's easy to say, you know, and I can remember here not too many years ago. It's been a few, but it hasn't been all that long ago. Where I threw my hands up and said, God, are you really there? Are you really, really there? And God began to reveal himself to me in a way that, you know, because, I mean, I said to him, I said, God, it looks like we're losing. That's been a few years ago, but the point is, I mean, that's where I was at. It seemed like no matter what we did. In fact, I'll tell you when it was right around when Clinton got elected. I'm serious. I thought, Lord, I don't understand. Don't ask me what I was thinking about or where I was at. Obviously, I wasn't where I am now. But the point is that, you know, sometimes when you get out there, you get bombarded by this stuff. And this is why the Scripture says to guard your heart. You know? We're supposed to think on things that are lovely and pure and of a good report. And if we get caught up in things, I can tell you right now at work, I mean, it, for all intents and purposes, it looks like my company is about to absolutely fall apart. It's got poor management. We've got people who literally are living out and walking out the plans of their father, who is the devil. I don't know if I mentioned this before. There's a lady there. She's an ex-police officer from San Diego. She's got MS or MD, which is a debilitating and can be fatal disease, usually is fatal. And here she is wishing that the head guy, because she despises him, and the person who's supposed to be the human resources manager, wish he was dead. They want him out of there. And yet she's dying herself. Now, does that make any sense to you? You know, as little children, we're taught, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know? You've heard me say in the past about, you know, when some people come to me with some things, I just, you know what? I really don't have time for this right now. And if it comes to it, I'll be just honest enough to say, you know what? My ears are not garbage cans for this trash. I really don't want to have any part of this. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, if I was to look at what's going on right now, it looks like our company, there is no support for the people that are out in the field. But God. I'm His child. Now, I know there's several people in this room that can identify with, man, at 50 or 50 plus years old, you're not looking forward to looking for another job. But you know what? One thing that I know, and I've watched in all the years that I've been with this company, is when things looked their darkest is when I saw God's hand move and when I became more convinced than ever. Am I hitting home? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, I knew. Why am I? I'd catch myself and I'd say, Bill, what are you fretting about? What are you fretting about? This guy that's in Iran who's running these big mouths. See? Folks, do you understand? These people don't have a clue. They talk about their God and all this rhetoric and they're going to annihilate the Jews. They've been trying to do that for 6,000 years. And it ain't happened yet, so it ain't going to happen now. But these people are bringing quickly upon themselves the movement of God. Now, what do I mean by that? In some cases, it's going to be annihilation. And it may be at the hand of God. I don't know. He's in control of that. I'm not. But do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, for believers, that fearful means awesome, spectacular, tremendous. For the unbeliever, it means fear, torment, dread, death. Yeah, destruction. I remember a little man I read about in this book who, with the entire army of Israel, was standing there quaking in their boots. He didn't even have any armor and he wasn't a soldier, and he took five little stones. And he went against the entire Philistine army. Giants! And the indignation that he had was, you're not messing with the people, you're messing with the God of the armies of Israel. I'm going to take you down. I remember the lion and the bear. I'm going to take you down. And he was doing it for the kingdom. He was doing it for God, out of love for God. And he triumphed. He triumphed. One man. And the evidence is Goliath's head. See? Now, I don't know about you, but that shows me that there is nothing insurmountable or nothing that God's not in control of. What I'm telling you tonight is the fact that I am more convinced than I have ever been in my life. I'm seeing the evidence. Some of it, I'm about to see the evidence. You hear what I'm saying? I'm prophesying. I'm speaking in faith here. But I'm about to see it. And you know what? There's a knowing in me that knows this is coming. He's in control. He's never left any of us or forsaken us. Everyone in this room can say, we've never seen the righteous forsaken and his seed begging bread. You need to all say, that's me. You need to all say, that's me. Because it is you. It is you. You know, there's been a ballyhoo about these name it and claim it people. You know, there's been a ballyhoo about you can have what you say. Yeah, you know, and all this stuff. But it's the truth. But it's not. This is not a gimmick like some places, some churches, you know, just to get money in. What I'm telling you, if our words are important, and how many know they are? If our words are important, and we are in a direct place today that's a result of what we spoke, what we believed in the past, good or bad, then I would submit to you that that means we can have what we say. Now, we make jokes about when flu season comes around and Martha and George say, well, it's flu season, I'll be the first one to get it. And then they're stunned because they got the flu. Well, who spoke that into your life? You did. Bless your darn heart and mixed up mine. If you're in a good place now, you see the blessings of God flowing in your life. Why is that? It's because of the good things that you spoke in accordance with His Word. We always have to remember, though. This is simple stuff. This is not rocket science. We always have to remember, though, that... Okay, Holy Spirit, bring that back. Anyway... God has good things in mind for us. He's told us that in Jeremiah 29:11. Yeah, there you go. For some reason, I had 14 stuck in my mind. And that's right, but it's a few verses down. Okay? I was thinking, in fact, that's what I was looking for, is a scripture, and it's in Psalms. And maybe it's 84 or something like that, but it says that the last part of the scripture there says, in His right hand are pleasures forevermore. What does that mean? I don't know about you, but I don't think sitting and fretting about where my next meal's coming from, where am I going to get the money to pay my bills, is a very pleasurous situation. Would you agree? But what brings great pleasure is knowing that my Father, your Father, has a plan and a destiny for you, that all you got to do, somebody said the other day, Stan was talking about it, what God told him, just get in, buckle in, and go for the ride. Now, there's some requirements in that. You don't just sit down and, okay, we're on our way, and then just relax. Uh-uh. You walk day by day. You walk in faith. You allow your faith to grow. You receive the Word. You listen to the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And allow it to grow. And pretty soon something gets a hold of you inside. You've seen slight victories maybe. Maybe you've seen major victories. But don't start slowing down. Keep going. Amen? Keep going. I know one thing. That there's not anything that you can come up with right now in your life or that you see out there that God's not totally in control of. I don't care what the appearances are. I don't care what the appearances are. He's in control. Now, my question for me and all of us is, how in control are we? What do I mean by that? Are we looking to the author and the finish of our faith? Are we at a place where we can say unequivocally, no matter whether we see the end come or not, or whether a battle, Stan made the comment about a battle that seemed to be lost on Sunday. And yet, in his heart, God rose up, the Spirit of God rose up in the Word in him, and he said, preached himself happy, talking to me on the phone. By the way, I wasn't being nosy like he said I was being caring. You know, for those of you who may not know, Desiree and Stan and Connie are just like family. Well, I mean, to Joanna and my kids and I, and the same vice versa, you know. So, anyway, so basically, you know, you need to understand that I have an interest in this also because I'm affected, not to the degree Stan is, because she's not my literal daughter, but for all intents and purposes, she is just like my daughter and her best friends.
you know, disarray. So anyway, focus is so important. We've been talking about that recently. But I ask again, and I want you to search your heart, and I want you to look very carefully while you're sitting here tonight and as you walk out of here in the days to come here. Look and see, are you really, really excited? What are you excited about? What's causing you to be excited? And who's in control of what's causing you to be excited? Is it the one who can't fail? Is it the one who's given you exceeding great and precious promises? Who has at His right hand pleasures forevermore for you? For you and me? Patrick and Donna talked about the year of Jubilee tonight. There's no doubt in my mind God's going to do this. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, we've all heard Brother Copeland and people like that say, give the examples, well, now you know, brother, you know how he does it and stuff like that. Ah, so-and-so did that and they died. Well, you know, there's a difference between walking in the truth. Can I tell you something? You don't try God. You don't try God. In other words, you don't try Him on like a shirt or like a pair of pants or a pair of shoes. You get in hook, line, and sinker and you start reading His Word and either believe Him or you don't. And if you don't, then you can't expect anything from God, can you? You can't expect anything from Him. Amen?
Right.
We have, again, exceeding great and precious promises in Him. And this, once we're convinced, should produce an excitement and a joy in us that almost is beyond being able to contain. I mean, you're like a lit firecracker and you're just looking for some place to explode all over somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know? That is every bit as much being able to give an answer of the hope that's within you as sharing the gospel to somebody who knew you know is headed on a one-way ticket someplace they don't want to be and they don't want to go. It's all part of it. See, what's happened in the past, and we all know this, that people have gotten on these evangelistical bandwagons, which is not wrong. I'm not downing evangelism, please. Don't even go there. But what I'm saying is you go out and stand on a street corner or you wear some sign that says, repent or you're going to hell. Well, that's truth. But what have you told them that's going to help them? I'd submit to you again that I've said this. In fact, we all know this. We probably all discussed it many times. We knew what was the problems in our life. What I wanted to hear, what you needed to hear, and I needed to hear, how do I make the change or how do I get out of it? That's called the good news. That's called the gospel. Amen? So, you see, if I go around all the time, oh dear Lord, Iran's going to make nuclear weapons. Oh, dear Lord. The news media, even on the Fox channel, bless their hearts. And that's probably the only channel I really put any stock in when I ever watch the news, which is almost never. Talking about this tremendous mess, they're looking right past the one who can straighten and who has this mess in his hand anyway. To him, it's not a mess. Let's go back a couple weeks. Sight distance. Sight distance. Amen? I'm excited. Do you realize that right now the stage is being set and the picture is being put together very awesomely and perfectly to show the mighty move and the mighty hand of God? So I would ask myself, and I would ask you, just like the Word says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust, put your hope in God. Amen? And when you do that, because you've seen the steps of victory you've taken in your life, everyone in this room has, you see that, I mean, there, you'll get excited. You'll get excited. I'm not the man today that I was yesterday. You're not the people today that you were yesterday. And you're not the people today that you will be tomorrow if you continue trusting and looking to the author and finisher of your faith. Trusting. What does that mean, trust? It means I know and without a shadow of a doubt, and you cannot convince me any different, that the outcome is going to be positive, it's going to be a blessing, it's going to touch lives, it's going to be a testimony for the kingdom. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
I might get real excited here.
Yeah.
I'm excited tonight. Are you excited? And are you excited not only because of the promises of God, but because you know that you know that you know they're for you and they're operating in your behalf as well as everyone else? Bill, I'm no respecter of persons, but it's me, God. Bill, I'm no respecter of persons, but God, it's me. Remember, it's me, Lord. It's me, Lord. Bill, I'm no respecter of persons. Jean, Marion, Richard, Harry, Bill, Patrick and Donna. He's not a respecter of persons. He's given promises. His word says, has he not said, and will he not do it? He can't lie. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, it's almost like when you're a child and mom and dad have promised you something that you really, really want. Either someplace to go that you're really anticipating going, and something that you really love, and you've really, I mean, you've been counting the days and the hours, or something that you're really looking forward to, and maybe it's for Christmas, and Christmas Day is approaching, the day's at hand, it's Christmas Eve, and you're so excited you can't hardly go to bed and go to sleep, because you know in the morning it's gonna come to pass. You're gonna have what you've been expecting.
Yeah.
Amen? Didn't He say, I've come to give you an expected end? In His promises are in Him, yes, and amen, or so be it. I was dealing with a guy today. The guy was obviously higher than a kite. I mean, just he was not rational. He was not even in this world. He was so high on drugs or something. One of my officers told him, you need to move on and go. And, I mean, she could just tell by his actions. So next thing I know, she calls me on the radio and says, keep an eye on this guy. So I'm watching him out the window, and he walks right around to the front of our building where our escalators are, jumps up and is hanging off the nose of this big leopard that we got, or mountain lion, whatever it is, in the front of our building, this big statue. So I walk out there with my radio, my badges around my neck, and I said, sir, you're trespassing. You need to move on right now. You need to move on. You're trespassing. And he gets this funny look in his face because he's not coherent. I mean, I bet he couldn't have told you what I said 2 minutes after he walked away. But he gets to the escalators and he starts going down, and all of a sudden, hands go behind his back, and he's doing this little dance in front of the. And I'm thinking, we need to call the guys with the rubber room, you know, the white suits and the, you know. I mean, this guy's not only a hamburger short of a Happy Meal, he didn't have any part of it. You know, and anyway, he goes down the stairs. I mean, just happy as if he had good sense, completely out of control. You know, anyway, I don't know why I told you that. Just the fact that getting excited, I guess. But the point is that I'm excited. I am excited, and I can tell you that I have a knowing down inside of me that God is in control, which brings great peace to me. You know. One of the big dilemmas, we had kids downtown, bless their hearts. They were kids who should have been in school. I can promise you, they weren't the ones who were the studious ones. They were the ones who were looking for an excuse to get out of school and probably were not passing, you know, their courses and stuff on this deal about immigration. Well, I'm not getting involved in that. I'm just going to tell you, the point is God's got the answer. But we, our government, And people run and try to look to people, you know, and they debate and get all Twitter-pated and stuff, and they talk about this stuff, and they never once consider the Creator. And yet that's probably the best example in recent years of a society that has turned their back on God, that has become selfish and self-centered. But there is. We created this problem. Human beings created this problem. And now we're looking for a Band-Aid to try to help till we can find some way to plug the hole permanently. Honey, the damage is done. Let's pick up the pieces and go on. But you know how you do that? You go and seek the Lord. Can I tell you what? Somebody out there could just as well be one of us. God is looking to give the answer to all this. Amen? I'm not just standing here whistling Dixie, folks, man. I mean, this is real. This is real. What are you excited about tonight? Where is your trust level? God's got this all worked out. God has not given us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And I'm here to tell you, and you know as well as I do, if you get focused on this stuff, you can lose your mind. I mean, you'll be running around like Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Oh, no. Oh, no. Just to show you how perverted things have gotten, most of you probably heard this. How many know what the golden rule is? Yeah. That's the right version. But do you know what the world's version is? Just to show you how perverted it is. Can anybody here tell me? Well, that kind of goes along with it. But do you know what it really is? He who has all the gold makes all the rules. Guess who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills both? Guess who holds untold revenues in his hands? It's the Father you serve. Amen? It's the God you serve. Let me tell you something. One thing you need to get down tonight, once and for all. He didn't send Jesus. And He didn't accomplish through Jesus. And Jesus didn't obey the Father for the kingdom's sake to see you or I fail. Amen?
Right.
Amen? He didn't do it. Praise the Lord. So once again, I challenge you. Think about it. What is it tonight that you're really excited about? Is it the things of God? Is it what He's doing in your life? And is one of the things you're excited about the fact that you know that you can trust Him without any hesitation, without any reservation? I feel like a coach giving a pep talk between first and second half of the ball game. You know? Praise the Lord. I am excited. I'm excited. I'm telling you, we're on a stage in this whole picture, in this whole life. We're at the perfect place at the perfect time to watch greater and mightier things happen than we've ever seen in history. God hasn't changed. If But there's just something in me that says we haven't seen or even heard. Just like the Scripture says, your eye hasn't seen nor your ear, neither has it entered in your heart the things that God has prepared for those that love Him in this day and age. You probably all heard preachers at some point or another say, this is the most exciting time in time to be alive. That's
when there is no other thing to rely on, you know, there is where you find your faith.
Well, and let's go back and think about it for a minute. You know, we all heard the old saying, when the tough get going. When you're in that foxhole and you're watching your friends, your buddies get killed all around you, and you're facing imminent death, who do you cry out for? Oh, Donald Trump. No. The first thing out of your mouth is, God. Oh, God. The Scripture says rebellion or stubbornness is as a sin of witchcraft. In Galatians, it tells us that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. And if you look at it, witchcraft, one of the main ingredients of witchcraft is manipulation. Right? See? That's a work of the flesh. People's flesh is out of control. And people who don't know God, like this guy in Iran, like Hussein, or Insane, whatever his name is. Yeah. Yeah, precisely. They think they're in control, but they're not. They've been lied to. And they're following a lie, and they're blind. They're being manipulated, and they're trying to manipulate other people. Look at, you know, what amazes me is the blindness of humanity, especially in this country. See, we'll jump on a bandwagon as a society, as a nation, and we'll go after somebody who's committing what we classify atrocities across the sea, and yet we cannot even see the atrocities we're committing here. Because God is not our focus. It's not our main motivation. That doesn't bring excitement. That brings heaviness. Am I losing you, or are you seeing where I'm going? Excitement. Knowing that you can trust Him because you've proved Him over and over again. Excitement and peace because He's never once let you down or failed you in your time of need. Right? Is that right? Can we all say that? I can't name one time when God didn't come through for me.
And I think it's excitement, too, that we know we have the answer, so God's going to use us because...
And He wants to.
We know what they need, even though they don't know it yet. Yeah. We know what they need, so...
Anyway, what? Now that I'm back on target, what brought all that up, we took that rabbit trail. Would you... And if you wouldn't, why would you expect people to run to somebody for an answer when their heart is as heavy as yours? Amen?
That's right. We're going to have the answer.
When you've got the answer and you've got peace
and there's joy and excitement in your heart and in your life that exudes out of you. Even though things are happening around you that looks like, dear Lord, who are the people going to come to? The mirror replica of what they see in the mirror? Or someone who's totally different? Why did they flock to Jesus? How many times is it recorded, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the seas obey Him. I hear it echoing in my ear. These signs shall follow them that believe in My name.
Amen.
They will cast out devils.
Right.
They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Right.
He says, I've given you dominion. He's restored dominion to us. And then He says, these things will you do and even greater things in My name,
Amen.
Says the Lord. How many years now we've been listening to and hearing and singing the songs, the fields are white unto harvest. What does that mean? I'm not going to tell you that I'm on the same page with these people who think that multitudes are going to get saved in these last days. But I also hear the whisper in my ear that He's saving those who were being saved or who will be saved at this time. I'm not talking about just fire insurance. I'm talking about those whose hearts will genuinely be changed. And they'll enter into eternity with us, ready to accomplish things in the kingdom and in eternity for the Lord. Amen? They're going to run to us. Why? Because when everybody else is falling apart and everybody else is worrying about how they're going to pay for gas, when everybody else is worrying about nuclear weapons and the Holocaust of the world because of tyrants like this knucklehead in Iran, and in all of this, peace, sweet rest, because I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. That neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any living creature or any other thing will be able to separate me from the love of God. Amen? What are you excited about tonight? Yesterday is gone. This day is about gone. The only thing that's in front of you is tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. Did you hear me? Tomorrow's a new day. You can't change what's over with, but you can start fresh today by a decision right now. If you haven't been excited, if you feel you've been lacking, or there's some things that you've been concerned about that you just can't seem to get peace about, now's the time, folks. Think about this word tonight. Think about it. And remember, I can already hear the one who condemns whispering in the ears, well, you missed it in this point, and you missed it in this point. And I hear this voice of God, the voice of the shepherd saying, if your heart condemns you, I'm greater than your heart. And then He tells us there's now therefore no condemnation. No, let me say that again. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Is He in you? Yes, you can nod yes, say yes, He is. If there's one thing I know for sure in this place, that's the truth. I guarantee you I'm not, and I know every one of you, if you were asked, would say the same thing, that you're not where you want to be. But you know what? I'm so excited about the direction I'm going. Did you hear me? I'm excited about the direction I'm going. And I know He's not finished with me. I know this isn't the end. And I know I'm not going to wake up one morning until he says, Bill, I want you in my presence. And that's when it'll be over for this part of it. And then we'll go on to bigger and better things without all the aches and pains and the nonsense that we put up with in this life. Where's your focus? Is your focus on knowing that you're part of the bride and that He's invited you to come in? Doesn't that excite you? He's invited you to come in. He's chosen you to be the bride. He's chosen you. He's chosen you. Did you know that you're chosen?
Right.
You're chosen.
Yes.
He redeemed you for a purpose.
Yes.
And it wasn't just to go so far and then all of a sudden fail miserably.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I agree. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
In the last few days I've been sitting on a book and it's all about the authority that that God has given us. Can I read it back? It says that Jesus came to him and said, all authority in heaven.
Yes.
Has been given to me.
Amen.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That means He gave you the authority.
Amen.
Now that's authority over everything.
Mm-hmm. The same authority He had.
There isn't a thing that you don't have authority over. But you know, I don't think Christians are really taking that very seriously. I don't think they really realize what authority it really means.
Right.
It's not power. It means authority.
Well, authority implies responsibility. And too often, I think we don't want to take responsibility.
Well, the authority that you're taking is the authority to overcome whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Troubles, trials, tribulations, whatever.
Amen. Overcome the devil.
That's who you got authority over. So, you know, just exercise that authority. Now, that takes trust and faith.
Amen.
And it all works together.
Well, and
it works together for good.
The Scripture says that that authority, I hate when that happens. Get a thought and it just goes. But that authority means that you have the ability to speak and to see happen what Jesus spoke. Not just to flaunt authority, but to use it for the sake of the kingdom, the righteousness of God, to see accomplish what He wants accomplished. If there's one thing we know in this place, in this house, you can't have been here very long and not know this, and that is the fact that it's not about getting. It's about getting for the purpose of God being glorified and the kingdom being built up. Amen? In other words, just simply stated, it goes back to it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about His will and purpose and plan. How many in this room at one point in their life, man, God, I want to be recognized as a great one. I want to be a Billy Graham or a Charles Capps or a Kenneth Copeland or a Kenneth Hagin, an Oral Roberts. Well, you know what? You don't have to stand on a television or have newsreels made about you to do that. All you got to do is let that excitement, which is light and life, exude from you. And not get a shocked look on your face when somebody says, did you hear that about that guy in Iran? We've got this terrible problem about immigration. But you can exude peace and comfort. And you can look them right square in the eye and say, I'm not worried about that in the least. I remember years ago, bless their darn hearts and mixed up minds, there were some gals who got a hold of some records from Dr. Lester Sumrall where he was casting out demons. And I don't know where they got this nonsense from, but then they're cautioning me, oh, Bill, be careful. You know, you better really be prayed up and you better really be spiritually high to listen to these, because if not, you know, these demons can jump on you. And I thought, dear God, Harry just said it. We have that authority. We have the one who's right, the righteous one in us, which has made us righteous. We have that authority. We have that dominion. Didn't we just talk about, haven't you read in your Bible many, many times? These signs will follow those that believe in my name, not your name or your ability, but when you know and you trust and you're excited and comfortable in Him, knowing that you have. I can remember the first time that I ever dealt with anything like that. Now, I've never seen demons cast out or anything like that. But that doesn't mean that I have not sensed and known that God was in operation. I'll just share this quickly in closing. I remember years ago, it was just after I was married, and we hadn't been married very long, and we were living in an apartment, I think, on the middle floor. There was a girlfriend of my wife, my ex-wife, on the upper floor across from us. Or, no, excuse me, it's the other way around. She was on the basement floor across from us, or the ground level, and this other friend was on the top level. Now, he'd been messing around with a girl in California who was into witchcraft, playing with Ouija boards and all kinds of stuff. And he started having demon manifestations, literally seeing them. Not only sensing them, but seeing them in his life. We had come home from church one night, and we had been home maybe an hour or two, just getting sound asleep, and I get this phone call. And this guy is hysterical. He's frantic. Well, I had never dealt with anything like this before. I was still not much more than a young Christian myself, even though I'd been saved maybe 10 years. Maybe 10 years, I don't know. But I'd never dealt with anything like this. But the scripture began to rise up within me, and the kids' mom prayed with me, and I went upstairs, and the minute I hit the door, I could sense. Every light in the house was on, and you could sense a presence that wasn't God's in that room. And I went in and did all I knew to do. And that is, with the faith within me and with the Word of God, I went in and began to take authority over those things. And to this day, because of God, my understanding is He's never had a problem with that again. See, we get so bombarded with things that we don't even understand or realize who we really are. How many times have we heard the pastor say, I know who I am? I would ask you tonight in all of this, do you really know who you are? Do you really know whose you are? I'm not talking about just thinking so between the ears. I'm talking about, do you know who you are? You are a blood-bought, redeemed, sanctified, justified child of the living God. And more than that, you are an heir. You're no longer a son, but an heir. You've been redeemed and grafted into that vine. You're of the seed of Abraham as much as if you'd been born to Abraham. Your Bible says that. Just read it. It's right there. That's who you are. And all the authority that was given to Jesus and was given to Adam and the dominion has been transplanted back in us because of the work of Jesus Christ in this life, in this earth. Because of the bruises, the blood and stripes, and the willingness to go to that cross. And if God will help me paint this picture, Lord, I need your help. Every rotten, stinky, low down, no good thing you've ever done, you've ever thought, you've ever been involved in, He took on Himself. Do we really understand what that means? That means that He became every vile thing that we were. And now, we're spotless. Urgh. See, logic dictates, we talked about logic last Wednesday night. Logic dictates that, wait a minute, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I don't care. And he doesn't care. If you've laid it, it's like the old song. Jean loves songs. She can relate to these. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? And if it is, then you really are what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation, a new species, a new being that never before existed because of Jesus and the work that He did. Because you've received Him, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. Because the righteous one lives and dwells in you. Amen? So you have that ability. Amen? You need to be confessing, I have that ability. But you also need to remember, it's not as I will, but as He wills. You go back and you read about the gifts of the Spirit. And what it says is the Spirit operates and the gifts operate as He wills, as the Spirit and the Father wills, not as you will. Amen? I don't know about you. I'm ready to do great exploits. I'm ready and so anxious for that, and this anxious is okay. For people to see. I don't care if they fall down. I don't care how God works it out. I don't care. That's not my... The point is, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I want to exude what God wants me to exude in this life to show people... He is real. He is risen. We just celebrated Easter. Amen. He is risen. He's alive. And He's alive and well in me. Amen? Amen. And He's alive and well in you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you need prayer tonight for anything.
One thing that you need to realize is that you are in Christ.
That's right.
And being in Christ, you are sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Right now. That authority, you can imagine what authority you've got then.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can stop.
Well, He said, all authority has been given to me. And I know everybody in this room has heard my example of the elevator. It's got a one-way mirror. Or a two-way mirror. All anybody on the outside can see is their reflection, their own reflection. But if they look actually beyond the mirror and look at the container, they see Jesus. But they don't see you because you're safe inside. Do I need to repeat that? You're safe inside. Gene, you're safe inside. You're safe inside. He's in you and you're in Him. I love the example that somebody gave one time, how it's like God's Spirit and your spirit. And when they come together, how many have seen vines that grow together on a wall or in a trellis? I mean, dear Lord, they get so tangled up and intertwined, you can't tell one from the other, and it's just one big vine. That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
I need prayer.
Okay.
I trust Him. I believe Him. I believe His promises. I don't have the excitement or the joy. And my oil is low, and I need more oil.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate the honesty. Amen.
You know, Rich, I've been reading this book about this Carmelite nun.
Uh-huh.
And it's Catholic, you know, she's Catholic, right?
Right.
I started to read it because I thought, well, you know, I've heard rumors, and I believe there are saved people, Christians, within the Catholic Church. But I guess I just wanted to see if she might be one of them. And she talks about it. She wanted to be a nun ever since she was about 12. And she knew what kind of a nun. She wanted to be a cloistered nun. Kind of goes in and just doesn't come out. And they spent all their time in there in prayer and fasting and intercession. And so she went in. And she was, they wouldn't let her in until she was like 22 or 23. They make you live a life first. You've got to have a life. You've got to finish your schooling. You've got to have a job. But in the process of this. She was in there for about a year. She was very excited, getting close to God. And, of course, you know, the nuns view, and as we should, that Jesus is their bridegroom and that they are his bride. And everything they do points them in that direction. But after about a year, she said, I found my prayer life got stagnant. She said, I found that my intercession, my intercessory prayer got stagnant. I was feeling for Jesus instead of closer. And at one point, she even questioned her calling, whether she was called to do this or not. But with some counseling from some of the other people, and even with family who didn't even want her in there to begin with, she said, okay, I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to work through this. And so she stuck to the ritual. She stuck to the things that had worked in the past, that had brought her closer to God. And through that process, it was like the sacrifice, because her heart wasn't in it, but the sacrifice of doing those things brought her back into relationship again. And you know, I think that our relationship with God is, I mean, he's given us the picture of marriage. You go through cycles in your marriage, your physical marriage, where some days you might not even want to be in the same house with this person, let alone be married to them. But you know that, well, that's not a reason to leave. So you just work through it, right? And you go on. And so I would just encourage you. You know, we all go through that, and you're probably the most honest one here about that. But, you know, I bet even in the past week, we've all gone through a little bit of a desert place at some point where we trust God, we know his word, but it just feels a bit far away. And that's not to say we're walking in sin.
Well, one of the things, too, we all know about the sacrifice of praise. You know, the sacrifice of praise. And sometimes it is a sacrifice. But there's more than even that, Richard. And that is, again, it's focus. This is very important. We can't take this lightly. Is your focus and your joy based on what, you know, the things, I mean, is it what he's done for you? Is it what you see in the future for you because he's promised it? Or is it what you don't have? Or what you don't see that's tearing you down? And if that's the case, then that's stealing your joy. That's what's stealing your joy.
Yeah, we can't go by what we see or what we feel.
I go by what the Word says.
Absolutely.
The promises.
But.
Well, you asked something, Richard. You asked something that I believe is found in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, to me, when it comes down to you, right, you get joy from that. Okay? And here it says in Luke 11:9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. You did that. You're doing that.
Amen.
He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, when the father, if the son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? You're talking to God. He's going to give you a good thing when you ask him for a good thing. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is for the benefit of everybody, not just for Richard. Okay? The one thing that I've noticed in my life is sometimes I have to stop and step back. And unfortunately, it was in the deepest part of despair and the biggest calamity I think I've ever faced in my life, in my estimation at that time, was when I was about to get divorced, thought I was losing my kids. Everybody in the world was telling me things that I did not want to hear. And obviously, as I've told you before, they didn't ask God. But I had to get down to the nitty-gritty, and I had to tear down the facade, and I had to tear down all the things that I had talked about and that I confessed, and I had to just crumble before God. Now, what does that mean? It means I went to Him, I did my grumbling, I did my complaining, I did my crying, I did my whining, and all of a sudden I got quiet before God. Now, what I would say to you, y'all know my saying about pouring syrup on something and calling it a pancake if it's not a pancake. Or standing in a garage and calling yourself a car and you're not a car. It doesn't make you a car. It's one thing to say, yes, I believe and yes, I trust the Word and everything, but there has to be a reason. And this is what you have to come up with, Richard, in you.
There has to be a reason why you're downcast and why you don't have that joy and that peace and that excitement. And I would submit to you, I think if you do some soul searching, you'll find, by even by our conversation, and I don't know, this is between you and God, but I'm going to say, and every person in here is the same. This is not just indigenous to Richard. This is every person in here. I think even Bill can confess this from past experiences, that it's because of what we perceive that we want to have, but we don't have, or because we feel like things have been taken from us and we don't understand. Let me tell you, that's where I was. I did not understand. I thought, God, I don't know what's going on. Everything I've given my life to has fallen apart. Everything that was important to me that I thought was right is gone. And that's when I was, if you will, laid in my loincloth, stripped down, beaten down, and it was just me hanging out before God. And what I realized is that there were things lacking in my life. And one of the big things was the fact that I deny the truth. And the truth was that I had lived a life that was a facade, that was a fake and a phony, under the guise that somebody might think that I'm not who I say I am or that I claim to be. Now, I don't know if that's the case with Richard. I don't know. That's between him and God. But I'm telling you what happened to me. And when I did that, all of a sudden it rose up inside of me that I said, I want to be transparent. And that's when I walked through the doors of Cathedral of the Rockies. 1993, December 19th, 1993. And my life changed as real and as vivid and as much as it did on August 28th, 1965, when I gave my life to the Lord, when I knew what it was to give my life to the Lord. And God did something inside me. Oh, we're still going to pray for you. I'm not saying you won't get prayer. I'm telling you some things that sometimes it just takes getting flat out honest with God, because God knows the truth anyway. Amen? So, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, first of all, by the Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd reveal to Richard. I mean, reveal to him, Lord. Reveal to him as only you can by the Holy Spirit. How much you care for him. And reveal to him the things and the calling and the plans that you have for him. But like Jesus, Lord, they're not for him, they're for the kingdom. But he'll be the carrier and the executor of those plans. I ask for the eyes of his understanding to be illuminated and enlightened. I ask for you to touch his heart, Lord, and for him to have an experience like he's never had before with you, starting this very night. And as you begin to reveal yourself, Lord, he'll begin to see and understand. And he'll begin to see, and the pieces of the puzzle will come together, and he'll see the things that you've done in his life up to now. I thank you, Lord, for the hunger in his heart. I pray that we all have that kind of hunger. But, Lord, we also have to acknowledge where we've been, where you brought us from, and where we are today, so that we can move on and so that we can see the milestones, the benchmarks in our life of where you've taken us from and you brought us to and where you're taking us to. Father, by your word and your presence and by the Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd fill Richard with faith, with insight, dreams and visions, Lord, of you. And the focus will be on, Lord, what he's doing now that's totally in accordance with your plan. And in so seeing that, Lord, you'll begin to direct him and guide him so that he can see exactly what's in store for him in the future. Not everything at once, Lord. You don't do that with people. We couldn't handle it anyway. But one step at a time. and that excitement would rise up inside of him. That zeal would rise up inside of him. The same way it was when he first got saved, Lord. And his focus, Lord, would be on You. Not focusing on desires, not focusing on wants or haves or have-nots, but on You, Lord. Because everything we are and everything we have, everything we will be, Lord, is in You. So reveal that to Richard. I speak faith into his life. I speak faith from the Word of God, where faith comes from. And hearing that Word, not only spoken by teaching, by the fivefold ministry, but by his own life confessing that Word. His own self confessing that Word over and over again. And the Holy Spirit there working with him, revealing to him who he is, what he has, and your place for him in the kingdom. We thank you and praise you for this. We give you honor and glory. We thank you for the good report, Lord, and we ask it all for your glory and honor and for your kingdom. Not for Richard, for the kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name. And because that's what you want for Richard anyway, Lord. So we come in agreement with that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.